We make our beginning for this Maundy Thursday in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first reading for this day is taken from Exodus 12, verses 1 through 14. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month every man shall take a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and in all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord. The Passion reading for today is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Old Testament passage that we heard this day is kind of the setting. Well, it is the setting for the Last Supper that our Lord has with the disciples, and He institutes this new feast. It is his last will and testament, really, because he's giving the church something very special and precious, and that is his life-saving blood and his life-saving flesh. And this is something that we do together as God's people, to receive the forgiveness that Christ won for us, but also to remember the events that took place on that Passover when Jesus was with us, when he was in his state of humility. In the background, of course, is just, as we read that, is just filled with blood everywhere, And also Jesus in the gospel, when he talks about the bread and the wine being his blood and his flesh. Maybe take the part that Jesus says for granted a bit. I don't mean granted. I mean everyday kind of thing. We hear it every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But it also sinks in for us because we remember this is what Christ did when he instituted this meal with his disciples in that upper room 2,000 years ago. He did this for us. And we'll get a little bit more into that as we move along. But its background is back to Egypt, back to when the Hebrew people were slaves to Egypt, and God sets them free from that bondage, and he does it in this Passover that takes place. Some things we should perhaps keep in mind is that there was a spiritual warfare going on in Egypt at that time. It was the one true God versus the gods of Egypt. And the one true God is about to level his judgment on the Egyptians' gods. And it's going to cost lives. And unfortunately, that's what judgment does. I mean, if a person kills someone and they go before a court and the court says you're guilty, what is the punishment? Well, in some cases it might be a sentence for life, or it could be a sentence of death. But there is judgment that takes place. And you know, that's something that we don't like to maybe talk about so much, is God's judgment when he carries it out, especially as we read it in the Old Testament. It kind of hurts our sensitivities, I guess you could say. Why would God kill the firstborn? You know, why would he do that? Well, judgment is why he does it. And that's what he even speaks. Why this is happening. It's judgment. Judgment on Egypt, judgment on their idolatry, their belief in false gods, where they have placed all their hope. Now, God's been fair, one could say, because Moses comes and delivers God's word to Pharaoh, and of course Pharaoh says no, and he keeps saying no 9 times. 9 times he has said no, in spite of seeing that the God of Moses, you know, the true God, defeats his gods, and his priests are no match to God's priest, Moses. So, it's not like he hasn't been given a warning. He's been given 9. So now the 9th one comes, and God instructs his people what they are to do so that their homes are passed over and none of the firstborn are put to death. Because if they're in that house, the angel of death will pass over. God will pass over. The Lord will pass over. And those people need to be ready to leave, because Pharaoh's going to want them gone. And they can't hesitate. They need to move fast. Why? Well, Pharaoh's going to do what he always does. He's going to change his mind again. So they need to be ready to go, so they're going to go. And that's how freedom happened. Now, God instructs them what they are to do and how they are to eat. And this is to become a memorial feast for them that they will do always on Passover, at the beginning of the year for them. So we see a lot of blood being poured out on that first Passover. First, the lambs that are without blemish, and their blood is spread on the lintel and on the doorposts. And then of course, the deaths of the firstborn of anyone that's not in one of those houses. God's people are in those houses. And perhaps sojourners are there too, or friends who are listening, maybe. So anyway, this is what takes place. And so this is one of those nights that Jesus is with his disciples celebrating this remembrance, this Passover from bondage to sin and idolatry. Well, the captives were idolaters, and into a new beginning. And this people that were not a nation are going to become a nation. These people will become God's people, and they will have a special covenant with God. So it's a new beginning for them, and it's all under the lordship of God. And they are to, you know, of course, not only remember this night, but there'll be other feasts that God will also direct them to follow. But this is the one we're interested in tonight. So then we get to Mark's gospel. And it's in that setting that Jesus is with his disciples, and he's about to start something new using that which was old and was special to the Jews of his day. And so everything seems to be moving along fine. Everything seems normal, but there's more to what's happening here than meets the eyes. And that's kind of the theme, actually, for tonight, more than meets the eyes. We've been talking about the eyes on Jesus, you know, different individuals or groups and how they see Jesus at certain points during the Passion. And here on Monday, Thursday, we're looking with our eyes on Jesus to see what is more here than what we are actually seeing. And that's for the disciples as well, for they are seeing something they have never seen or they have never understood or heard before. Well, that's all about the change, because Jesus is taking that which was an important part of the life of Israel, and now he's making it even more important, because that only foreshadowed the greater event, which is what Christ is now doing. And that is, he is about to shed his blood. He's giving his body for the sins not only of his disciples, not only of Judea, but the whole world. And that's all in that sacrament, that Last Supper, that meal that Jesus institutes on the night of Passover. Here he tells his disciples at some point in the Passover meal, getting close to the end of it, and he takes the bread and he lifts it and he gives thanks to God. Nothing unusual here. This has been done time and time again. The disciples have seen this. They know it well. They celebrate it every year. And they've celebrated it now the third time with Jesus in Jerusalem. So here he gives thanks and he breaks the bread and he gives it out to the disciples and he says, "This is my body." Wow. What is this? "This is my body." That's what Jesus said. "This is my body." Now, we have no idea what the disciples were first thinking when he said that, But then he kind of goes right back into what is normal to them. He takes the cup and he lifts it and he gives thanks, he blesses it, and he says to each of them to drink it. And then he tells them, this cup is my blood. You know? Wow. What's going on here? Well, Jesus is telling his disciples some important things as they remember perhaps their history, that Jesus, God set up something new when that first Passover took place, and now God is setting up something even greater than that. And this too is new, and it's important because this is what all of the prophets and all of the Psalms, all of the Scriptures, the Old Testament, have been written about. They foretell the events that now are taking place on that Holy Week, on Maundy Thursday, on that Passover night. It is happening. And Jesus wants his people, his brothers and sisters, those who trust God, those who believe that this is being done for them, to be part of their life continuously. So whenever they gather and they do this, they do it in remembrance of Jesus. Now, we receive the forgiveness Christ won for us in, with, and under the bread and wine. There we receive that sacramental flesh and blood of our Lord. We do it because Christ has commanded us to do this. Why? Because God is starting his new creation. He is starting a new life for his people. And everyone who trusts are his people. Now, I'm not saying trust in any old thing, because you see, the Egyptians trusted too, but their trust was in false gods. Their problem was idolatry. Well, guess what? Idolatry is rampant today as well. We can be guilty of idolatry at times, but, you know, we usually get shook up. And we're reminded that, oh, those are just false gods. Don't follow that. Don't follow that trail. Money is a false god. Don't follow that trail. You know, there's plenty of false gods out there. And then there are those who actually choose to worship the old gods. Right? And we already know they're empty. Yet people do it. People don't think anything of it. They think God is just this tame God out there who really doesn't care. Well, guess what? God ain't tame. Because God's judgment fell on the Egyptians and real people died. God's judgment fell on their gods. And their gods were useless. Their gods were without power. Their gods were shown to be nothing. But idolatry can separate us from God. And God's judgment would fall on us. Because idolatry is unbelief. It is rejecting our salvation in Christ. It is saying, I don't need it. Well, you know what? In the Old Testament, at first Passover, what did the people do to earn their salvation? Nothing. God directed them what he was doing and said, you stay in that house and you're safe. There was nothing for them to do. God was doing it. God was setting them free. God was delivering them. God was making them into a new people. And now God is doing it in a greater way because it's not for one nation, but it's for all the nations. All the nations are drawn to Christ. All the nations are drawn to the cross. All nations. So we are set with our eyes on Jesus. And what happens in that upper room with his disciples? Oh, there's a whole lot more than meets the eyes. Because it's a matter of faith. We don't see it. The disciples don't see what's about to occur, but they will. And once it is completed, the church has always celebrated this meal, this supper, with the knowledge that Christ imparts to him, to us, his own body and blood. I want to share with you some words from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 54. And that is, what is in, for as you come in faith to Jesus, to feed on his body given and his blood shed for you, Jesus promises, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And that's what's going on here. That's what's being instituted on that night with his disciples at this Passover feast. A new covenant. A new covenant. A new promise. And it's for the world. And you and I have received it by faith. We believe. And that's all. We don't need to figure it out. We don't need to know how is that possible. All we need to know is what Jesus said to his disciples. And what he said is, this is my body, this is my blood. This is done for you. And we do it to remember what he has done. Amen.